some people are still coming in. Come on in.
We need a bigger room.
TV capacity.
Or TV outside or something. Wow. I think there's some space closer up.
Maybe after they sit down, they can see the baby.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Looks like that's all. Let's start with the
pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is a reminder that under Administrative Code Section 67A1, the ringing and use of cell phones, pagers, and similar sound producing electronic devices is prohibited during Fire Commission meetings. Please make sure all phones and pagers are turned off or set to vibrate or another silent mode. Fire Commission regular meeting Thursday, June 11th, 2015, and the time is 4:09. Item 1, roll call. President Andrea Evans.
I'm here.
Vice President Francie Covington.
Present.
Commissioner Stephen Nakaja.
Present.
Commissioner Michael Hardiman.
I'm here.
Commissioner Ken Cleveland.
Present.
Chief of Department Joanne Hayes-White.
Here.
Item 2, general public comment. Members of the public may address the commission for up to 3 minutes on any matter within the commission's jurisdiction and does not appear on the agenda. Speakers shall address their remarks to the commission as a whole and not to individual commissioners or department personnel. Commissioners are not to enter into debate or discussion with a speaker. The lack of a response by the commissioners or department personnel does not necessarily constitute agreement with or support of statements made during public comment.
Is there anyone here who would like to make a public comment? Seeing none, can you call the next item, please?
Item 3, Resolution 2015-04, Discussion and Possible Action Regarding Proposed Resolution 2015-04 Pertaining to the Bank of America Metal Fund Accounts, also known as the Rainey, Sullivan, and Scannell Metal Fund.
Okay, I'll just give a little bit of background to the resolution, which is that these funds have been longstanding with the department for over 100 years. We don't typically draw from the funds very often, only during meritorious award ceremonies, and so we've run into a situation where Bank of America has said that the funds could be treated as potentially abandoned to the state. And so in order to correct that, we need to pass a resolution authorizing the fire chief and our commission secretary to act as signers on the accounts, and as well as asking Bank of America to reinstate the accounts. And we also need to have our prior commission secretary, Monica Quattrin, removed as a signatory on the accounts. So it's pretty straightforward. It's just kind of paperwork that we need to submit to the bank. We're told that once it's submitted, we'll be okay. I don't know if Maureen, you have anything to add, because you've had most of the conversations with.
Just that the chief and I have to go to the branch office and sign the signature cards in front of the bank employee.
Okay. Any questions or comments from...
Let me get some lunch on the way.
Any questions or comments?
Question. Does the resolution have to be read into the record before we vote?
No.
I move that we accept the resolution as presented.
Second.
Question.
Commissioner Nakaja?
Thank you, President Evans. Is there a, what's the balance in this account? Is there a balance in this account?
There's about $30,000 in each of the three accounts. So approximately
$90,000. $90,000. And that's used for our Victorious Awards. All right, thank you.
So there was a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. Is there any public comment on this item? Thank you. Can you please call the next item?
Item 4, approval of the minutes. Minutes from the special meeting of May 28, 2015.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? None. Minutes are approved. Is there any public comment on the minutes from May 28? Seeing none?
Item 5, discussion of amending fire commission discipline procedures to promote more timely and effective resolution of cases.
I would like to continue this item to our next meeting. We have requested that the city attorney, Zachary Corianda, who advises the commission, be present to answer any questions that might come up in the course of our discussion. I will just note that the commission has found that the discipline cases are taking much longer to wind their way through the system, and it seems to be impacting the department, the members, as well as the commission, and so we want to consider ways that we might be able to move these things along a little bit more expeditiously, and we'll continue that until we have the benefit of our city attorney with us, which hopefully we'll be able to set for June 24th.
Item 6, Chief of Department's Report. Report from Chief of Department. Report on current issues, activities, and events within the department, including fiscal year 2014-2015 and 2015-2016 budgets. And report from operations, report on overall field operations, the Bureau of Fire Prevention and Investigation, Airport Division, in addition to update on EMS 6 and DEM-DOC.
Good afternoon, President Evans, Commissioners. Reporting since our last meeting, which was on May 28th, I believe, the activities in the fire department. I must also ask our CFO, Mark Corso, to join prior to the Deputy Chief of Operations giving his report. He'll give a summary of where we're at with the budget. Just to touch on it briefly, though, I will be prepared to present before the Budget and Finance Committee next Wednesday on the 17th, 10 a.m., the Budget and Finance Committee is comprised of the chair is Mark Farrell. You have Supervisor Wiener, Supervisor Marr, Supervisor Tang, and Supervisor Yi on that committee. And just today, Mark Corso and I met with Supervisor Wiener. It's our goal to meet with each of the committee members prior to the meeting on the 17th, which has always worked well for us in the past. We're meeting with the other three on Monday and Supervisor Farrell on Tuesday. We are also awaiting, and when we get it, we will provide a copy to you, the sort of the rebuttal, I will call it, from the budget and legislative analyst. Typically, Mr. Rose and his staff take a look at all departments' budgets from when the mayor submitted the balanced budget on June 1st, and then takes a look at what was funded, and typically will make some recommendations for reductions. We don't have that yet. We'd like to get it tomorrow. We'll probably get it no later than Monday, and we'll provide you a copy of that, because that's typically what comes up when we're before the Budget and Finance Committee. Generally, I think we have very good support from all the committee members. That's what I'm sensing. But we will present on the 17th, and it's most likely we will present again on the 24th, because usually on the first round we aren't in complete agreement with the budget and legislative analysts. So the committee usually asks us to continue it another week and work with that body. And like I said, Mr. Corso will come up and talk to you about where we were at. I know we had the benefit of providing a briefing to President Evans and Vice President Covington last week to bring you up to speed on where we're at. And he'll give you a summary as well again this evening. We do have 42 new members that had graduated last month, and they're working out in the field in our EMS division and doing very good work. In addition, we're in the process of transitioning approximately 30 H3 level 1s to H3 level 2 paramedics and 9 H2 firefighters with paramedic licenses that will become H3 level 3 paramedics. So lots of good things happening there, sort of bolstering our staffing, particularly in the EMS Division. I'd like to acknowledge Division of Training, as well as Chief Myers and Chief Malloy for that collective activity, and also Chief Lombardi, because from a logistics standpoint, he's done a phenomenal job in making sure that Station 49 is prepared for the new members that they're going to be getting. So everyone's working really hard and really well together. We are anticipating an August Academy for H2 firefighters. There have been some curriculum modifications and adjustments that the DOT is continuing to work on that I think it has been vetted through all different layers, including the commission, the local 798, and the administration, which we support and we think will be a good step in the right direction. The plan is to hire 54 H2 firefighters into the academy. 14 will be coming from Station 49, so there'll be 40 off the new list. That new list was recently provided to me with updates regarding the survey results. So the survey closed earlier this week related to the secondary criteria, which I will also consider when making the difficult selections that I need to make, but the important selections that I need to make. My goal is to at least have on a rolling basis some members notified of backgrounds by the end of this month and then into July. We are planning for, through Chief Francisco, as well as EMS, the Pride Parade, which is going to be held at the last weekend of this month, and then 4th of July plans as well. What else? And prior to the next commission meeting, we will be holding the first part of the H33 Rescue Captain's Exam. I'm not sure how many we had signed up for that. Does anybody know offhand?
117
signed up. Thank you, Jeff, for that exam. So that it's a two-part exam. This part two will be the week of July 12th. Some of the other things I just wanted to bring to your attention is that I did state that the mayor on June 1st, and President Evans was there as well, unveiled his budget for the city. And that was in the Board of Supervisors chambers. Chief Lombardi, Chief Gonzalez, and I met with PG&E. We meet with them quarterly and regularly. Our relationship has strengthened. They've been very responsive to some of the requests that we've had. We're still looking forward to the day where they have a 24/7 crew, not just supervisors, but a crew that can come out in the off hours and have a little bit more of a more expedient time frame for their response to assist. But generally, we're working very well together, and we ask them quarterly to summarize their response times for the incidents and kind of a report card from them. And actually, at one of the meetings that we had with PG&E, we had two on June 4th. The city administrator, Naomi Kelly, joined us. On June 5th, so last Friday, very happy to announce, it was something that we've been working on for a long time. Lieutenant Aisha Krieger has been a proponent of it. I've been a proponent of it, and that is to teach CPR to high school students. And so Dr. Ye also has been very helpful in this process. Chief Myers assisted, as well as Chief Williams was with us, and Chief Brandon from training. And we had a press conference on the steps of City Hall, and we partnered with the San Francisco Unified School District, who recently passed, and we're appreciative of that, unanimously to carve out a little section in the curriculum of a ninth grader to incorporate CPR training. And as was attested to last week, we had a survivor of sudden cardiac arrest that, we had two actually that were there, and they spoke, and their words were very meaningful. We can say only so much, but what they say really is it kind of drives it home. And one person had said that two women had assisted when he went down with sudden cardiac arrest, but that it was a skill they learned in high school. And it's similar to riding a bike. You learn it and you don't forget it. And it's very empowering, and it does increase survivability. Obviously, we want someone to contact 911 to begin to get us rolling, but the sooner that chest compressions can begin, the better chance someone has of survival. And gone are the days where we're talking about mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. For obvious reasons, we think that there's reluctance, but studies have shown that the constant compressions, chest compressions, are very effective. And so we had some fire reserves that were out helping us do some demonstrations out on the steps of City Hall. But we're really grateful for the Unified School District finding some time in a tough curriculum for 4 years that this fall they're committed to incorporating that curriculum. And I'd like to see the Heimlich maneuver in that curriculum as well, which I want to talk to you a little bit more about. I saw how they're going to teach it. But we're really proud that that came to fruition because it's something we've been asking for about the last 4 or 5 years. So to the superintendent, Mr. Kranz, and we're appreciative, as well as to the school board. So that's good. Good news. Interim Fire Marshal DiCozio, Chief Lombardi, myself, and Chief Gonzalez attended a Reducing San Francisco's Post-Earthquake Fire Risk Workshop. I didn't stay the whole time, but it was good news. It's what we've kind of been championing all along, but that after seismic activity, that's one issue, but it's truly the fires following the earthquake that are significant for our city and that we're vulnerable. And so there was an engineer by the name of Charles Scawthorne. He's presented actually before the commission before. He's done some studies. He's working with the chief resiliency officer, and his studies all point to the direction of additional resources should be allocated for the fire department in terms of equipment and personnel. So we will see where that will take us, but that's something that that we obviously support, and we can provide. I believe there were some handouts at that workshop that we can provide as well. I attended the Pride flag raising at City Hall the other day, and there was a lot of people there. A lot of people looking forward to the end of the month for the Pride parade celebration, and I'm understanding that our number in the parade is going to be moved up from previous years, because I know we were getting further and further in the back, so that's a good thing. We also made a formal response, which I forgot to give you copies of, I have them here, to the budget and legislative analyst regarding their audit on administrative and strategic planning, so I'll provide you a copy of that. We had a Super Bowl planning meeting today. AC Siragusa, Chief Francisco, myself, and Chief Gonzalez were there with Santa Clara County, as well as Cal OES, to discuss the importance of continued communication and collaboration around the events for Super Bowl 50. More to follow on that. And then this weekend, there's a Juneteenth festival. We got it a little bit late. We're going to try and get on the calendar earlier next year, but there will be several of us participating in the parade, and I believe it's an all-day festival on Saturday. So if any of you are interested and wanted to participate with us, you're welcome to. And I think that concludes my part of it. I was going to ask Mark if you wanted to come on up.
Good evening, commissioners. Just wanted to give a brief update. I know I've talked to some of you about the budget that was introduced by the mayor last week, but I just wanted to give a few highlights from the department's perspective and review some of the work and enhancements that were incorporated, kind of a review of some of the items that have been previously discussed with regards to prioritization and the budget committee that we have. So last Monday, the 1st, the mayor introduced his budget to the City Hall. By charter, he had to do that balanced on June 1st, which he did. And there were some, I've included some information in your packets, and I'll briefly go over that, but I wanted to highlight what was good news for the department, especially as compared to previous years. Given the overall economic health of the city, there were quite a few enhancements that were requested and incorporated into the department's budget, and I just wanted to highlight some of those. They mainly fall in a few kind of large areas, but I would like to say with regards to some of the work of the budget committee, 9 of the top 11 ranked budget fund initiatives priority-wise were funded by the mayor's office, so they definitely took into account a lot of the work done by the budget committee, so that was good. In addition to those, there were some other enhancements not incorporated on the prioritization list, but that were incorporated into our budget, so I'll walk through those briefly. From a hiring perspective, obviously we have the current Academy of EMS personnel that are in this current fiscal year that will be entering into the field shortly. That will be a net increase next year to our staffing for EMS, which is great, one of the recommendations from the work group. On the fire side, we were allocated funding for a second academy in the next fiscal year, which means there will be two academies each year over the next 2 years for a total of four, and then eight academies over the next 5 years. And that is a supplement to the mayor's previous hiring plan. For EMS, there were a number of enhancements requested and funded with regards to EMS. The number one priority was an EMS supervision model at Station 49. This was partially funded. The department had requested that there be an allocation for supervision there consisting of 12-hour shifts for H-33 rescue captains, where we would have two during the day and one at night. What was funded was one during the day, one at night. So it was partially funded. That would allow the department to restore the current supervision in RC back to the field operations. But it was partially funded. In addition to that, the department was allocated four civilian positions for EMS logistical support to assist at Station 49 in prepping ambulances, stocking, cleaning, things that crew members are currently doing now in the hopes that the presence and the work of these storekeepers or personnel will allow the crews on the ambulances to both get in service quicker and then get out of service quicker at the end of their shifts, increasing overall ambulance availability in the system. In addition to that, there was the restoration and enhancement of the EMS-6 Mobile Integrated Healthcare Program. Dr. Ye, I know, has briefed the commission on that previously. That was a priority from the mayor's office as well as the department, and that was funded consisting of two positions as well as some one-time costs for equipment and supplies for the program. In addition to that, there was a small materials and supplies increase for EMS, just given the increases in call volume that we are seeing and continue to project to see. Planning was also another kind of bucket of enhancements, if you will. There was a deputy director of policy and planning that was allocated to the department. And under this person, there would be two senior administrative analysts. This would be comprising the department's planning division. We have definitely suffered from a lack of planning resources in the past, so the hope is that with these additional personnel, we'll be able to address some of the planning needs that we have not had due to lack of resources. Fire prevention investigation, there were a number of positions that were either restored or increased with regards to the Bureau of Fire Prevention. There were six inspectors and two lieutenants for fire prevention that will increase the staff. A lot of that will be allocated to plan check to deal with some of the backlog that we see there. In addition, there were two IT support positions to assist the Bureau, which will be good. There's a number of projects we're looking to roll out, including tablets and things of that nature for the prevention inspector, so we'll be able to when we previously did not have the resources to do so. On the investigation side, we were funded current fiscal year, we were funded for two additional investigators, and we were funded for an additional two investigators in the following fiscal year. So that's good news. We did request also to fund the H-24 lieutenant at Arson, and that was not approved in our budget. From an IT perspective, it was very good news. We were funded, in addition to the prevention, two IT personnel, three other additional IT personnel to support, and one would be allocated to EMS division for some of the EPCR records work. Outside of that, some other kind of, not random, but other individual enhancements. We were funded an occupational health specialist work order with DPH to assist with some Cal OSHA issues and kind of mandates from Cal OSHA going forward. We received some resources for uniform recruitment. The department had requested for two permanent positions to be assigned for uniform recruitment efforts. We were not funded for that fully. We were funded some overtime to account for sending personnel to various events on behalf of the department to do recruiting efforts, but we're still looking at ways to deploy that staffing. We were allocated, for the first time since I can remember, we were allocated overtime for special events, specifically the Super Bowl and Fleet Week. Obviously, there's still a lot of planning revolving around the Super Bowl. A lot of what the actual commitment is unknown at this time, but there is an allocation, $250,000 set aside for those efforts. And then, as previously discussed, increased daily operational staffing at the airport, which is consisting of an on-duty battalion chief in a 24-hour capacity, in addition to an additional fire inspector at the airport. From the equipment side, in the first year, we were funded for an allocation for two fire engines, two ambulances, and approximately $1.5 million to complete the department's fireboat project. In the second year, we were funded for two ambulances and one ladder truck. With regards to capital, but all these are laid out in the email as far as detailed projects. While we were, our request is in the neighborhood of $50 or so million, we were allocated approximately $3.5 million in our capital budget, which doesn't seem like a lot, but is actually quite a significant improvement as to what we've seen in past years. So that's very good news. There's obviously a lot of work going on the capital side, both from our general fund allocation here, but also from the Easter bond, and then continued planning for the new EMS facility and the health bond in 2016. So with that, I just wanted to open it up. Any questions or any further explanation I can give on any of the items?
Thank you very much for your presentation. Are there any questions or comments? Commissioner Cleveland?
Thank you, Madam President. And thank you, Mark, for your hard work on this. I'm delighted, I can say this as a new commissioner, that this was a real collaborative effort working on this budget enhancement piece in particular, and bringing a lot of the senior staff of the department into the conversation. I think really helped solidify in Kate Howard's mind and others in the administration that this was really, really important. The things we were asking for weren't just fluff. They were really important. And so I applaud the effort the chief and others pulled together to make it happen. And that's why we have as much money as we have now in this new budget being proposed. So my question is, we got to get it passed. We got to get the Board of Supervisors to adopt it as it was presented and not let it be cut back by Harvey Rose or others in City Hall. So my question really is to you or to the chief, and it is, how can we as commissioners assist in making sure this budget, as it's presented, gets passed?
So I will say, and I failed to mention kind of the time frame and the next steps that we have. So currently, as I mentioned, the budget was submitted by the mayor's office on June 1st and is being currently reviewed by the budget analyst. And I've been working with their representatives on a variety of questions regarding our budget. And so they will have a report prepared for our first budget hearing, which is next Wednesday, the 17th, hopefully by tomorrow, if not by Monday, where they will make recommendations as far as cuts to our budget. And we'll be negotiating with them over the next couple of weeks. But our first hearing is on the 17th, and the chief has made appointments to meet with all of the supervisors on the Budget and Finance Committee, as she mentioned, all five of them prior to the hearings, to kind of state our case for the justifications of the enhancements that we have. So we'll be closely working with them as well as the budget analyst over the next couple weeks. As far as recommendations for assistance,
Do you see the commissioners meeting with the supervisors or, being involved in that regard?
So I would welcome that. Yeah, I think that's great. And I know that in the past, some of you have reached out to some of the board members or the committee members. And I think I sense a very strong support from the five members, at least four of the five, that in my mind. But it's sort of the truth will be told when we get that report from Harvey. So I'd love to get it tomorrow. We may not get it till Monday. Once we get that, I'd love to share it with you. And if there are things that we feel, I agree with you, I don't want to try and give up any money. In the past, candidly, we've had to negotiate and we've given some money. We've never given everything he's asked for. So I think it would be great to strategize and see what we can do collectively, whether it's one or two of you even making yourselves available, if you can, on the Monday. By the Monday, we have three meetings on Monday with Supervisor Mari and Tang. We met with Supervisor Wiener today, and we agreed that he said, just give me a call if there's something that's really alarming to you. So we have that good relationship. So we'd be happy to provide you with the times or even the reports so that you can
provide that information. Okay. So we'll let you know. I'm sure my fellow commissioners will let you know if we can be there at those meetings.
Okay.
If it helps, we'll be there.
Two of you or less, right?
I had a question on the EMS logical support. And I think that's great. We need that very much. So the question is, are they going to be hired through HR? Is that potentially something that people trying to get into the fire department might want to apply for that job as a way to sort of get into the fire department working as logistical support before they're actually you know, come into the fire department as paramedics or firefighters?
I'm
asking, is it a ladder, a potential ladder for them?
No, it's kind of a completely separate track, more of a storekeeper track on the civilian side. I mean, I'm sure that would be, experience-wise, that would be a positive, but they would still have to pass the normal requirements and take the exam for the entry level, either firefighter or
paramedic.
It'd be a good experience, I think, because you're right there in the hub of the activity.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, this would be something, if they're not working, this might be something they would want to apply for. And so, getting your foot in the door, so to speak, getting some experience and what paramedics and EMTs have to go through. Another question on the PG&E thing. Can you give me some examples of what are the issues that we're having with PG&E?
I'm going to let you answer that one.
You want to wait for my report, or you want it right now?
Is it lengthy?
No, it's not lengthy. Do you want to do some of the things you're talking
about? Are my answers
about?
Usually lengthy? I can think of it. PG&E, the 24/7 response team, we've been requesting for a long time since I've been in this position. We haven't gotten yet. Their contention is that they're dealing with their union, and they're trying to implement it, but we'd like to see it sooner rather than later, not just for the big disaster, but just for our run-of-the-mill fires we have in the middle of the morning or early in the a.m. We'd like to see them out there sooner rather than later, especially if there is a gas or electric problem.
So they have a 24/7 response team, but they're just not coordinating as closely with you as you'd like, right?
Right, and also from a...
What they shared with us is that they've heard us loud and clear. They're at the negotiation table because it's a labor issue related to, it's a change in working condition for their members. And so they're getting a little pushback from what we understand.
Another issue with PG&E, the mayor's office, city administrator, the chief and myself, we've been discussing with them regarding cross bores. So when they do trenchless drilling for when they put their gas lines in, distribution lines into the houses, sometimes they go through sewer pipes. I mean, there's been instances on the East Coast and other cities where, you know, these sewer pipes have filled up with gas and there's been explosions.
Mm-hmm.
So last year we had met with them and they told us that from this point forward there will be no more. That wasn't the case that we had when we had the meeting just last week. They said that's what we should. It should be that way. Well, the last meeting we said that's the way it was going to be, not that it should. So we're hoping we can get better compliance in that.
The software piece?
The software piece regarding the...
Being able to take the photos.
So they're going to give us layers so we can have a better idea of where their shutoffs are as well as where their distribution lines are. But they're still... To me, one of our fires we had, I would say about a year and a half ago, Chief, was on San Bruno. Mm-hmm. They took a while to shut it off because they didn't have the right equipment on scene with one of their supervisors. They're trying to make sure that their supervisors have the right hardware and software so they can make that determination more quickly. The fire we had in San Bruno that day, the gas was free-flowing on fire for about an hour, hour and a half.
Again, if there's a role for the commission to play here, some of us do have contacts at PG&E, so we can play a role in helping put the fire department's case before them, certainly will.
Yeah, and this committee came from when our mayor was Gavin Newsom. It was after the 2010 San Bruno pipeline explosion. And it was a safety review periodically with PG&E. And I think it's been very helpful. We have a good working relationship. We actually asked, we were having separate meetings with gas and electric. And we said, can we combine the meetings? And they thought that was a great idea. They'd never done that before. So I think they're working better together. Just because we requested that we consolidate our meetings, and, right? I mean, I would say that before there were two separate reports, and then now they're merging the reports. So they're appreciative of our request.
And I'd also say that we have a better relationship. I think we have Battalion Chief Jack Kremen, who's our liaison, who works with the PG&E, and he set up drills where we drilled with gas and electric. And you've seen the props that we built out at Treasure Island. They helped us. That was an immense help. And so. Mm-hmm. It's a good relationship. I just think that it could be better. Some of the things that we want done, I would like done in a more expedient fashion.
Well, if we can help in any way, I speak for myself, certainly, but I'm not the commission's interested in having a smooth working relationship there and getting the results. CPR training for all ninth graders. So that's going to happen. That's going to be part of the curriculum for all ninth graders starting in September, I suppose.
Correct.
When they go back to school.
It's in the fall for Unified School District.
All public schools in all ninth graders in San Francisco Public Schools.
Right. And I'm going to reach out to the superintendent, the archdiocese, so the parochial schools as well as the private schools.
That was a nice
we would like
question.
Everyone.
Good.
But I believe it touches like 57,000 students. And so in
I
the
think
public.
That's great. I think that's very laudable.
Yeah.
Station 16, any update on that?
Chief Lombardi.
Yeah, so after.
I'm going to wear that answer.
No. After we had the task force and we presented a letter to the chief's agreed to move forward on exploring the new plans. So I had DPW put together a new set of plans, and I just met with Captain Stiles yesterday. And so he was receptive to the new plan, and he's actually taking it back.
I hope he's happy, not just receptive. I hope he's like super happy.
He was receptive, and so he's taking it back to 16. He's actually going to come back Monday with any changes, and then we can start moving forward with that new plan.
And my last question, Chief, is the committee that will put together, or you'll be putting together for the 150th anniversary of the fire department. Have you done anything on that yet?
I have. Thank you for the reminder. I have a couple more things to add before Chief Gonzalez comes up. Yes, so we have begun the process. I've met with retired Captain James Lee and Dave Eberle from Guardians of the City, and we have plans to have our kickoff meeting on Monday, June 29th at 10 a.m. The woman seated next to you, Vice President Covington, is going to be one of the members of the committee. And possibly President Evans might pop in once in a while. But we have a variety of people participating, and I think we'll get off to a good start that day. So lots to happen.
And I personally think that all of us as commissioners should be involved in some way in
supporting
this effort and raising money for it, whatever necessary.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And then along those lines, I'm also working closely with President Evans, Tom O'Connor as well from Local 798 on formation of a strategic planning committee. And the one thing that I didn't mention is that the two deputies and I will be conducting fire marshal interviews on Monday, June 15th.
Excellent. Thank you. That's all my questions, Madam Chair.
Any other questions or comments? Commissioner Nakajo?
Thank you, President Evans. Mr. Corso, thank you for your report.
Sure.
This presentation that you gave, and I know that you talked about a listing of the priorities that were funded. You talk about 1 to 9, and the first 9 were approved of. Is that first 9 correlation within this report that you gave, so that if I look at 1 and 9, that's the ratio that you're talking about?
So correct. Out of the priorities are ranked as they were scored by the budget committee. And so the top 11 highest ranked priorities, 9 of those were funded either partially or fully in the budget.
All right. Again, this is unprecedented, correct? That we are in this situation where we've been so amply funded in terms of our particular requests. I, again, been around a little bit and don't remember us being in these kind of positions before. Is that something obvious? Or
I would agree with that, yes.
All right. And Mr. Corso, you've been a budget director for how long now?
5 years.
Okay. So I'm assuming that within your 5 years, you've never seen this kind of amount of the mayor's office submitting this budget. Is this budget a 2-year budget or is it a 1-year budget?
It is a 2-year budget, but it will be reevaluated next year at the time.
Okay. So when you narrate the areas that were funded in the 3-year budget, you went a little fast for me, and I know I can read it, but could you go over again the classes that were approved in terms of H2, and you ran some other numbers by again, starting with there's going to be a class approved in 2016?
Correct. So originally, the mayor's hiring plan called for, I believe back in 2013, it called for one academy for the department every year for 5 years through 2018.
Right.
Then recently, earlier this fiscal year, the mayor came out with a revised hiring plan, which extended it to fiscal year 2020, so that's 5 years, and then added academies in fiscal year 17 and 18, which would be years 2 and 3 of the 5 years.
Okay.
Part of the department's budget request was to add a second academy in the first year, which was fiscal year 16, and that was approved in the enhancement. So as we're looking at the next 5 years, for the next 3 years, in August and January, the next three fiscal years, we will have an academy. For a total of 6 academies over the next 3 years.
So 2 a year.
2 a year for 3 years.
Okay.
And then 1 a year for the next 2 years after that. So over that 5 year period, you're looking at 8 fire academies.
All right. In terms of this budget request, what's the total figure that was submitted by the mayor for the fire department?
The total department budget?
Right.
Including like all airport and everything, it's approximately $358 million.
Okay. Is that for 1 year or?
For 1 year, correct.
All right, so do we also have to come into compliance to submit a 2 year budget?
We do, and we did. And so for a lot of these initiatives, they're funded, for example, all the positions, they're funded in the first year starting and then funded through the second year as well.
Okay, and again, the chief did a great job about narrating the next steps, which is Mr. Rose.
Correct.
Audit. Then the process of July goes to the Board of Supervisors.
Correct.
To either add or approve.
Correct. For the most part, when Mr. Rose and his office comes to agreement with departments, there's a pool of funding citywide that has been cut from various departments' budgets into one kind of pool that the supervisors themselves can divvy up as they see fit, whether it's for their own projects or for various department projects that they felt should have been funded. And that process happens after the budget hearings.
So going into Mr. Rose's analysis to the chief, to yourself, do you have any idea as to range or what the field is from Mr. Rose in terms of how he's going to affect this budget?
Currently, no. I'm sure there will be quite a lot of scrutiny on new positions, as there is any time a department proposes a new position. So it's up to us to provide the proper justification for those positions.
All right. But theoretically, what we submitted and approved by the mayor's office is what's approved. And he basically looks at it in terms of proposing cuts.
Correct.
And those cuts, are those cuts then discretionary for the Board of Supervisors to return to our budget?
It could be, yes, if that's what they choose to do. If, say, something was cut during our process, and then during the add-backs process, the supervisors voted to restore that in the department, that's absolutely their right.
Right. Is that the strategy, Chief, for us to approach the Board of Supervisors to simply reinforce what the mayor's budget has been, or we're not in the position to ask for more increases? We're certainly not going to ask for a decrease. I'm just trying to get a feel as to what our strategy is going into the Board of Supervisors.
So we're really interested in learning about what the budget analysis has, but while we're having the opportunity of meeting with the supervisors, we've met with one so far, Supervisor Weiner, we did indicate our desire to have full funding for the EMS supervision plan, which Mark described, was partially funded. It was about two-thirds funded. We'd asked for 1.5, we're getting 900,000. So we are taking the opportunity to ask for some things that had not been funded for them to consider. That would be one. Another one is some additional funding for personal protective equipment. And there were a couple of others, I think, as well. So we definitely are, you know, we're pleased with what we're receiving, but there's a few things that we think also for consideration that we're asking for.
Okay, I just needed to hear that.
And one would be, and we'll find a way for the commission meeting, that 50,000 line item. And we're also going to ask Supervisor Farrell in particular, because I think he's engaged in the history and preservation of our city. We had asked for a $65,000 line item to assist with guardians of the city who are helping us with this 150th celebration. Even if we got half of that would be a good start.
My inclination is basically that if we got the approval of the mayor's office in terms of this unprecedented number for 2 years, that hopefully the Board of Supervisors members would concur with that as well. And my inclination is that since we're talking about such a robust budget, that we do ask for what wasn't funded, because based on the justification, my last point, and Commissioner Cleveland referred to it, is I'm very, very pleased with the result of this work group. As long as I've been commissioner, we've never had a budget work group. Mm-hmm. Never had a budget work group instituted by the chief with members of the department, with all members of the players involved. And that's the only way, quite frankly, that I thought that we could establish some kind of precedence was submitting a budget. So again, I'm very, very pleased. And it's a good practice, if you will, that from this point forward that we are moving in that kind of a directive. Because basically, I feel strong about not only the mayor's budget, but also approaching the Board of Supervisors, that people are should be knowledgeable as to what our needs are presently. And this is encouraging. So I just wanted to say that. I talked to Commissioner Cleveland quite a bit, and I made references to the President Evans also about how important that work group was and the effect of that. And I thank you for your work on that, too, because otherwise, I just don't see these kinds of positive effects.
Thank you. And if I could add, I think that I agree. I hope it was interesting for the people that attended. And I would see it as something that could continue even offside of the budget cycle, just with regards to kind of longer term financial planning and needs for the department. And in theory, I think it could be folded up in some of the kind of planning division that's being proposed with regards to how it relates to the operations of the department going forward, not only from the operations side, but from the budget side as well.
Yeah, and I totally concur with that and agree with that, because that work group gave us an opportunity to advocate for our department, and it did get contentious. You know, there was difference of opinions, and I'm thoroughly convinced that, again, our advocacy and the work by the members, 798, everybody that was there through the chief, made that presence really clear. So again, I think we're in a great position this year, and I thank you, Chief, and the command service, Mr. Corso, for your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, President.
Any other questions?
I'll go after. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Vice President Covington.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to echo my fellow Commissioner Nakaja's comments that this really is a time for celebration, that we were able to manage to get close to our goals. You know, after having a dearth for so long, we now have a budget that we can actually work with to accomplish the things that we need to accomplish. And it was, you know, an effort on the part of everyone that got us here. So continuing with that effort would be great. When it comes to meeting with the supervisors going forward with the budget, you know, there have been times when they've not been on our side, and now that they are on our side, I think it warrants us sending them a thank you note signed by all of the commissioners once the budget process is over. Because when people are doing the right thing, you have to acknowledge that they're doing the right thing, and not just always tell them you're doing the wrong thing. So I want to put that out there right now. Hopefully, our commission secretary will put something together. And 8 academies over 5 years, this is just great. It is so needed, and we don't have to wring our hands anymore about this. And the budget committee, I think that having so many members of the department be active in that committee is a way to educate the entire department about the nuts and bolts of putting a budget together. Not having done this previously, I think a lot of people in the department had no idea. Maybe they thought it was smoke and mirrors, but now, you know, they have people who are in their firehouses who can say, yeah, I was on that committee, and let me tell you, isn't a walk in the park. But, you know, we did well. So that's very, very good. Concerning the upcoming meetings with the supervisors, for the edification of my fellow commissioners, Monday is Supervisor Marr at 2 p.m., Supervisor Yi at 2:45, and Supervisor Tang at 4 o'clock. So if you plan to attend that meeting, any of those meetings, then you should let the secretary know, because no two of us can be in the room at any one time. And if you plan to go to all three, then just clear your schedule for the afternoon. And then the next day, Tuesday, June 16th, is Supervisor Farrell at 12:30 p.m. And Madam Secretary, if you could send that out tomorrow, that would be helpful for him to all the commissioners.
Will do.
Okay, thank you. And concerning the CPR for ninth graders,
correct.
Yes. I think it's an excellent idea, and I'm glad to see it finally happen. And I'm hoping that in addition to adult CPR, that infant and child CPR will be given some weight in that training. Has there been any talk about that?
So the curriculum was just sent to me. I don't know, Dr. Yeh, if you've seen the curriculum yet. It has not been finalized.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe there's a limit of how long the course is or the class is, but I know I will ask for your review of it as well. And like I said, I think the Heimlich maneuver, if that could be somehow used in for lack of a better analogy, would be good.
Well, I would really advocate, again, I think it's an excellent idea, I would advocate for infant-child CPR to be part of that, because the American Red Cross has an all-day thing where they do both. They now combine both.
Correct.
And it's very critical for ninth graders who are babysitting or have younger siblings and they are home alone, and they can really make a difference in the interim if their parents are not available. So the pediatric CPR is very good.
Dr. Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about the hands-only piece?
Sure, I was going to say, I completely agree. One of the wonderful things that we've seen in other communities that have adopted similar initiatives in terms of training is that there's kind of a halo effect. Although we have a limited amount of time, one of the great things is that these are students who are going home to their families, communities, and able to really show and hopefully motivate others in the community to learn hands-only CPR, as well as attend other classes and go through a full certification process if they're interested and necessary. So I really hope that it's not just those students that go through it and are able to do it themselves, that it's going to be others, their family members, and other community members who may go and learn the full CPR process and the certification for adults, children, and infants.
That would be great. And there is a Heimlich maneuver for children, for babies. It's the knees. It's the child on the knees. So. All right. Just wanted to say again, very good work, everyone, and I am very happy.
Commissioner Hardiman?
Well, there won't be anything left for you to say, Madam President, but...
Let's come up with something.
We're all saying the same thing. Yeah, it's nice to have money, but even when we have money, the supervisors can have their pet projects that might not really be approved of that. It was interesting this morning, they had an article, I don't know if anybody read it, congratulating Chief Sir on some moves he made in his department with... because he found a little extra money. And they were going over the population of San Francisco, which was, everything's for the police department's based on 750,000 people living in the city. And now we have 850,000 at least that we know of. And then we have all the visitors and the tourists is way up, and the people working in this city with all the new buildings is way up. So that article that they had in the police department on the front page could just have been a boilerplate for the fire department. But I had a question, Chief, on when the fire department was at 1,700, was there no overtime or just extremely little? Do you remember that? Anybody?
It was less, but I know it kind of goes in peaks and valleys. I know when we first came in, there was quite a bit of overtime.
The staffing was, when we first came in, or when Tom Syracuse, AC Syracuse came in even earlier, I know when we came in, there's sometimes the trucks were 1 in 5. The staffing model has pretty much remained the same since the early 90s up, where the trucks are 1 in 4 and the engines are 1 in 3. So, and we haven't increased that many. We've increased engine 4, truck 4 came back. We haven't deactivated, other than deactivating division 1, battalion 5. So yes, if the staffing model then was 1,700, yes, there was definitely less overtime. There wasn't that much of a deviation in the actual numbers or staffing per day.
And as we see our numbers going up in terms of our FTE count, there will be a drop in our overtime.
But when chiefs agree.
But you're probably looking at me because Station 4, we added to 9 FTEs, and right?
Absolutely. And part of that is that a lot of this hiring and these academies will be replacing an oncoming kind of wave of retirements that we are going to be experiencing. So it's not necessarily that we're going to be netting hundreds of additional firefighters there, or mainly for backfilling projected retirements, too.
We can still use more.
Right. It doesn't look like, even with all this, we're not going to ever hit 1,700 in the near future. So, but that, some people want to work overtime, right? So there's a balance there.
Yeah, we're much better. I mean, we were at a low of 1370, something like that. And now we're in a much better place, because what we were trying to avoid was the mandatory overtime, which is not a good, you know, if we have to use it, we use it, but not we were experiencing it all too often. So those days are behind us, fortunately. We'll get better.
And then all the conversation about the CPR, I think it's Heimlich for high school students, because they're chances of them having a cardiac arrest or a heart attack or something that would knock them, I think it would be more choking on food.
True, although I had a scare a couple weeks ago. yeah, I mean, but yeah. The whole phenomenon of Dr. Yake, it is. We have seen sudden cardiac arrest in probably some of the healthiest people that you'd look at outwardly, right, Doctor?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty...
I mean, we had some of the terrific examples are sort of saves coming back to us, and I know many of the commissioners have been involved in some of the reunions with our rescuers, but it really is a condition that can strike many people without any other untoward indications that they have an underlying illness, and so it's really great to see people who, you know, suddenly something happened, we were able to intervene, and they do really well. So I would agree that you know, certainly choking and Heimlich maneuver is really, really important. But I think we're also looking at children from the Unified School District being able to go out and identify these problems early on, and also have other people in the communities learn to recognize and intervene. And as the chief said, oftentimes people don't know that they have an underlying condition until they're suddenly stricken by something like this.
Well, I was fortunate to only have three instances where I would possibly use CPR and Heimlich, and one of them was former supervisor John Bardis, and every time we're in a group, he says, "There's a man who saved my life." And it was interesting, he was just standing there turning purple, like, and he had a plate in his hand, and I pushed him, and out came a big giant piece of roast beef. So, and believe it or not, I did it twice with my mother in her life, and both times it was a roast beef. So I think in all my life and all my goings, three times I had the opportunity, it was Heimlich. So I just can't see a high school person needing that. That's all I was getting at. It seemed to me that would be a real important thing to learn. And then, Chief, this building... you're really having some issues, I would imagine, with all so there's new vents, new engines for the pumps, and this is all going to go on for a year in this building.
Right.
Can you explain that a little more? We got a little briefing outside talking to one of your staff, but if you give us a little update on what's going to happen in this whole procedure.
Sure. So one of the things, and I think the next item after Chief Gonzalez for the next commission, when you're kind of voting on what you'd like to hear, I believe we have scheduled a presentation on the PUC and ESER funding for that, of which this is a product of the ESER funding. And so there will be sort of a soup to nuts overview of exactly what's happening here. But my understanding is for the next 9 to 12 months, there will be work on this building. It's part of the ESER bond to upgrade to the pumps and so forth. And so it has, we've made it work. We're still operating here. I don't know if Chief Lombardi, if you want to give a little bit more, but I know we're going to give a bigger presentation
next
week.
That's absolutely accurate. I don't want to steal their thunder for next meeting, but basically they're redoing the pumps, motors, which are downstairs, and then all the ventilation for the pumps, which goes right through the building, which is more of disruption on the third floor. We had to relocate a couple of people because of that. And it'll have all new venting. So when it's eventually done, we could run these pumps and still work out of our FDOC room. Right now, when those pumps go on, the whole building fills up with fumes, so you need to evacuate the building. So although the pumps work, we'd have to relocate out if we were working in an emergency situation.
That's basically what I was curious about, why did all that happen? That was right. Pretty much answered what I needed to know. So that was it. And great job. Fantastic. Put together a great package. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Corso. I just had a question, and thank you for all of your work with the budget. I know it's always a lot, but just a lot this year. So just regarding the PPE replacements, not getting funded for that, I'm just wondering if there's a way to have all uniforms and gear and PPE that firefighters need for their job just considered part of their, you know, not taxed as wages, but basically
part of a new hire's.
Yes.
It's cost.
So it wouldn't be its own separate line item, but this is the cost that you have to have an additional firefighter in the department. Mm-hmm. Because it's what you need to do your job. I don't really understand how you can say no. I mean, and I get they already have one set, but they need to have them replaced, right? We wouldn't be asking for this if it wasn't necessary for their health and well-being. So to me, it's the cost of running the fire department, and it should be treated as such. It should be treated kind of as a basic not as a maybe you get it or maybe you don't.
Right.
I don't. You have to have it, right?
Yeah, I think we would absolutely agree with it, but when you talk about kind of replacement plans and funding for that, you've seen the difficulties we've had on a variety of topics, from vehicles to just in general setting up a consistent source of funding for replacement of items. And so that has been the difficulty. And it is considered separate. Obviously, it's not attached to the salary per se, so it makes it a little difficult to actually attach it. But that would be something we would absolutely be in favor of. It's just been a difficult.
Can we not call it replacements? Can we just say everybody gets two or three, whatever the number is?
We could say that, but the funding part of it is still an issue.
So that actually just leads to my other question. The IT and the capital and the equipment vehicle, that's not the same timeline in terms of approval, or is it, for the rest of the budget? Capital planning have its own.
So they had their own, but that was still part of the mayor's process and not part of the board's process. So in theory, everything is fair game. In general, at least in the past from our experience here, they haven't necessarily focused on the capital and IT projects. So things that have been approved and submitted by the mayor have pretty much gone untouched through the process. Equipment, however, has been and continues to be heavily scrutinized. You need to provide quotes and kind of equipment spending plans. There's been reductions of that in the past. That definitely is more scrutinized than the IT and the capital projects. But in theory, everything is fair game to be looked at.
Okay, and not for right now, but if you could please at some point just, I know that when we did the budget at the very beginning in February, you had the numbers of everything that we were asking for. But
yes.
If you could resend that just so I can compare it to what we got versus our original ask, that would be super.
Sure.
And that's all I have on the budget. I did have one question for you, Chief, and this didn't come up in your report, but I'm wondering where things stand with the MOU with the PUC.
Our goal would be if you agree with the presentation on the 25th, that we would provide you with we can provide you with a copy of that beforehand.
So is it signed?
It's signed by the PUC. It's signed. It was approved by the Public Utilities Commission.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I wasn't aware of that. Thank you.
Okay.
That's all we need to do. Is there any public comment on this item?
Good evening, Commissioners. How are you? I don't know if this thing is on or not, but I'll speak up. I wasn't planning on speaking tonight. I'm here on my own time, but as you know, I'm the captain of the Arson Task Force. And this is the first I'm hearing that our H-24 lieutenant position was not approved. And I hear all the accolades for the budget committee, and this is the best budget approval we've had in who knows how long. But not getting that H-24 lieutenant position is a major, major problem. The Arson Task Force has a lieutenant position authorized. We're just seeking to fund it. You don't have to prove that you need the position. It's already been proved previously. There is no middle supervision there. It's a captain and eventually 9 investigators, as well as 4 or 5 vacation relief investigators. They have 1 supervisor for up to 13 or 14 subordinates. We have a model with supervision ratio to employees that this is not representing at all. And then when you factor in that we have only out of the 9 potentially after July 1st, since those 2 positions were approved, we have 2 permanent investigators there with experience. We have 1 investigator who will be new because he's off the new hire list, but at least he has about 6 to 9 months experience. And then the rest will be brand new. So there's a training issue here. We have investigators training investigators, not a lieutenant training investigators. This is a crisis. This is not something that I expected. I expected at the very least to get to H-24 and hopefully get the 2 investigators, at least 1 of them. But to not have a lieutenant is to send out trucks and engines without officers. The officers are there for a reason. True, our investigators work without the benefit of a supervisor in the field, but we're talking about new investigators as well, not just the investigators that are in the office at that time during the day. The lieutenant's position is typically, historically, been a day's position, but they provide all the support that they need as for training, for regular supervision needs. I can only do so much, and I've been carrying that role of both lieutenant and captain for the last year, and I will continue to do everything I can do. I work a lot of hours on my own time because that's the only way to get it done. I've also worked a lot of overtime as well, but 5 times more of that time that I work on overtime, I work on my own time. We need help. And this it's great that we have a great budget. We need that lieutenant's position. I mean, whether it's temporary because we couldn't get it permanent, it's that critical. We have people that potentially could be affected as far as their health and safety is concerned. I've been more than happy to present any other information. So
thank you very much, Captain Darman. Any other questions or comments? Any other public comment? Seeing none, can Chief Gonzalez? Mm-hmm.
Good evening, Commissioners, Chief. It's my operations report from May 6th, 2015 to June 2nd, 2015. There was 1 great alarm fire during this period. Second alarm at 2418, 2420 Fulton Street. 2 buildings were involved. There was a light well fire at 444 in the morning. Chief Burke was the incident commander. Units did a good job at this fire. They contained it pretty quick. There were 3 civilians injured, all minor. 2 were smoke inhalation, and 1 was a minor burn. Since Chief Siragusa is here, I will commend him on working with our engine officers regarding standard operating procedures. He calls them in the mornings on some of these shifts. He'll call a lot of the engine officers there, going over what we do, first alarm companies and fires, and he's just reiterating it to them, and I think it is helpful to the field. So thank you. EMS, final push to issue all the Station 49 members SCBA mask, the self-contained breathing apparatus. Approximately 25 members left. EMS is also working on the bariatric policy and technical reference guide. Should have hands-on training developed by next week so we can start training Station 49 members. EMS is also working with myself on the H-8 negotiations. There should be the final stages with working on getting the procedures in, and also working with DHR and the city and the union, and a few more minor details to be hashed out. Also working, I had a meeting this last period with the chief, DHR, other members of our department regarding the 42-hour work week. We're trying to figure out how we're going to work that with Station 49, hopefully come to an agreement with 798 and implement that as well. BFP permits, there are 8.5% or 283 annual inspections left out of 3,345. All annual inspections will be completed by the end of the fiscal year. events coming up, the Union Street Fair on the 13th, the Juneteenth Street Fair on the 13th. As the chief mentioned, we'll be participating in that parade. The North Beach Street Fair, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. SF Pride, 27th, 28th. And hopefully this time we are in front of at least the Oakland Fire Department. Last year we were not. Pink Saturday in the Castro on the 27th. Community Outreach, BFP, 45 smoke alarms were distributed to the NERT graduates at the Corpus Christi Church on Alamany Boulevard. Plan Check is expecting additional personnel down at 1660 Mission. It is a challenge right now for space for Director Tom Huey of the DBI and us. We are also looking into the members here at BFP. We're trying to find some space for them maybe outside of this location where we might have some plan check and some prevention using their fees. So it would open up some space in this building. As you can see with this construction, space is becoming a challenge for everybody. BFI, they made a great arrest just recently of a suspect of the portable toilet fire, possibly more. Bureau of Communications, adjusting box station orders with feedback from the field. Active Battalion Chief Story is doing a fabulous job down there. Also attached to my report is the San Francisco International Airport report. That concludes my report. Any questions?
Any questions or comments from the commission? Commissioner Nakajo?
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Chief, I think Chief Hayes White, did you mention that you were in the process of trying to replace the fire prevention marshal?
Correct. I'm just wondering if you don't remember. So we have an interim fire marshal, Dan DiCozio, who's here with us tonight, and we will be conducting interviews for a permanent selection on Monday.
How many candidates do you have, Chief?
I believe 16 candidates. I think we're interviewing 9.
And you should be concluded by the end of next week?
Yep. I'll have the announcement on, or if not before, the next commission meeting.
The chief also wanted me to mention, I'm sorry, the also attached to my report, it was requested to give an update on the EMS-06. The real only update was the financing was approved for 2 RCs from our department. I believe they're going to be working with a DPH representative, a civilian. So that was the only update pretty much from what Dr. Yeh gave you when we had our meeting at Reardon. And as far as the DEC, I believe I talked to the commissioners involved. I think that they're going to, they'll have questions, but they'll be better answered once they do their tour to get more of a feel for it.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. Vice President Covington.
Thank you again, Madam President.
Hello.
I got dismissed.
I think he's looking at the time.
I was following previous instruction as well. So, but anything for you, Commissioner Covington, I'm here for you.
I know what's going on, but just let me tell you, Amazon's Trump warriors. So, okay.
Oh. I'm thinking about that one. Huh?
No, I
kind of know what you mean.
Don't waste your brain matter on it. I have just one quick question. The community outreach education, where did the funding come from for the 45 smoke alarms?
I'd assume it's from the fees, but...
They were donated.
They were donated. And were they donated specifically for this church?
No, we have a stock that we've donated that was it's allocated as we see fit for public education over past public appearances that where we've promoted public education. So,
okay, I only ask that because I went through NERC training and we didn't receive them, so I wondered if it was a new program or the earmarked for certain populations.
Yeah, and at Corpus Christi, that's a Catholic church, but I believe that was the meeting place, so it's the NERT is obviously non-denominational.
Yes.
But it's a good question, because when I attended the one out at Sunset that Katie Tang had gone through, they also distributed them there. So I think maybe they had gotten a recent cache of them, and so maybe that's, so that we don't give them out for every class, but probably when you went through yours, we weren't giving them out.
My class was also very large. It was just a few months ago, but it was very large. So perhaps it was too large for this. Okay, thank you. That was my only question.
Okay.
Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, can you please call the next item?
Item 7, agenda for next Fire Commission meeting on June 25th, 2015.
Can I make a comment? Thank you. So it looks like we have a lot of the graduates of the City College Academy program here tonight that haven't been able to come here on prior Thursdays. So welcome and congratulations on, and I'm going to not shake your hand after the meeting because I want to go home and watch a basketball game. I just wanted to excuse myself. I wasn't being rude.
You can head out the back door.
I'll just say everybody can leave immediately upon this travel meeting. That's okay. So I had already asked to continue the item regarding commission discipline for the next meeting. Do we already have anything else on that?
We do. We have the firefighters and safety education program.
Oh.
Dwayne Eckert coming in.
And the PUC.
And the PUC.
We're thinking about that PUC presentation, which we talked about the.
Right.
They're prepared.
They're prepared.
And was that? It's better to try and do it now than in July, right?
I would say it's probably better to do it now with the MOU and everything that the chief discussed, and also they're prepared to talk about the maintenance and everything else that's going on. I mean, I would like to get that done.
Okay. Let's go ahead and put that on the agenda as well. Any other items?
And do you want the discipline discussion?
I'll look and see how long this might take. Okay. Maybe we'll put it to the next.
Okay.
Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none?
Item 8, adjournment.
Boom.
Go Warriors.
They have
to. Here
you go. All right. See you later.
No.
Were you saying you were the Amazon?
Yes.
That's what I thought. I didn't want to infer that incorrectly.
No, women are Amazon.